morning and welcome to our service today. Those of you that are here in attendance and those that are, of you that are watching online. I'm Joe Hill, Leander's campus minister and a member of the teaching staff here at Oakwoods Church. I thank Pastor Darrell, our senior pastor, for giving me this opportunity to present God's word to you today. And if you are a first-time guest or a first-time watching online, I would encourage you to come and join us on a permanent basis to be a part of our great church family. Oakwoods Church takes our vision very seriously, and that is to love God, love people, and to share Jesus. As we do these things, we just also join, once again, ask you to come and join us, and that you will find a place where you can connect, and that you will grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We also have as a goal here at Oakwoods Church, and that is to study the Bible in 5 years. That's right, all 66 books of the Bible in 5 years. And that includes books of the law, major minor prophets, the poetry, history, epistles, the gospels, and all of it pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus. And you can help us, you can do that on a daily basis if you download the YouVersion app. And the way to do that, the instructions for that is in our church bulletin and also on the screen behind me. It is a great way for you to start your day, to get a spiritual pick-me-up at midday, or as you go into the evening, you can sit down and study and meditate on the Word of God. And we would love for you to join us there. Now, currently we are in the book of Numbers, and today's message will be from the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, and it is entitled, Avoid Doubting. Now that I have your attention, I'm going to give you such a great teaching today. It is going to open your eyes, it's going to settle into your heart, and you will never, ever doubt God's word ever again. Okay, now I know there's somebody out there that's thinking, I doubt that. Well, I can tell you, avoid doubting. Let me tell you what doubting is. Let's go to this first point. Doubt is a lack of confidence or assurance that God will keep his promises. Doubt is a lack of confidence or assurance that God will keep his promises. Now, before we get into today's scriptures, I just want to do a brief recap of how we got here today. Pastor Darrell and Pastor Brian has done a great job these past few Sundays bringing us on the journey in Numbers. We can remember that they started out in Egypt, of course, and Pharaoh had a firm grip of bondage on the nation of Israel. But using Moses and Aaron, God, through signs and wonders, gave Pharaoh a very hard time, and he released his grip when they had the miracle of the Passover, and they began to move out of Egypt. As they went on their journey initially, they got to the Red Sea. And once again, God showed his mighty power by splitting the Red Sea and allowing the nation of Israel to move through it to the other side to escape the Egyptian army. Once on the other side, the Egyptian army, thinking they could chase them, went into the way that they had traveled, and they were drowned in the Red Sea. Man, I tell you, that must have been a great day for the nation of Israel as they were singing and dancing and praising God for the release from Egypt, and now they are off through the wilderness toward Mount Sinai. And along the way, they also had other miracles that happened to them. Now you think about this. That was a rock that was struck, and it provided water for them. Now when you see that, you just think, okay. But remember how many people was there. Close to 2 million, or maybe even over. 2 million people. Water came out of a rock to sustain them, along with their livestock. As they was going along the way in the wilderness, they never encountered any kind of illness that caused them to lose their strength. They were healthy. They had clothes on their back. They had shoes on their feet that didn't even wear out, going out throughout the wilderness and the desert. And all along the way, think of this. They had God in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night guiding them along the way. Just imagine that. A cloud, as Pastor Brian told us, that may have been as so large that it covered them to keep the heat of the desert away from them in the day, and a pillar of fire so large that probably provided warmth for them in the cool of the night in the desert. And they finally get to Mount Sinai. And when they get there, for me, I can just envision this. An entire mountain shaking and quaking, covered in the cloud, and you have fire, thunder, and lightning. And all of a sudden, the voice of God speaking directly to you, giving you the law. I tell you what, that in itself would have been enough for me to know that God is real in my life. And after all of these things, sadly, along the way, every step of the way, there were those among them that was forbidding dissension, they were murmuring, they were having covetous behavior, they were criticizing the leaders all along the way. And God, in his faithfulness and in his mercy, he did not kill them. And Moses, his faithful servant, always before them, and he's always interceding on their behalf, imploring God, please do not kill them. Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And indeed, God is faithful and true to his word. And he saw them to Mount Sinai, and they broke camp, and they went on forward into the desert until it was just a few miles away from the promised land. And this is where our lesson starts today. Let's go to the first verses. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to you, to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. Now, this story today is a story of unwavering faith versus crippling doubt. This idea of sending spies into the promised land ahead of them sounds like a good idea. As a former soldier, we always did recons before we went into any area. Always we did it by map, or we sent scouts forward so we would know what we would be encountering. However, this is God, these verses is God giving the Israelites what they want. You see, if you look further into the next book, the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter, 6-8 verses, this is what it reads. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountain of the Amorites, to all their neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains of the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And further on down in verses 20 and 21, it reads again, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. I say again, do not fear or be discouraged. God's promise to Israel was a title deed to the promised land and a guarantee that he was going to go before them and any enemy that stood against them would be defeated. And yet, I can hear Moses speaking these very words that we just read, and I can just see the nation of Israel. Hold on, Moses. Okay, we hear you. But just let us send spies first. We just want to know what we're going to encounter. This is sounding good to Moses. And when he took it to the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, you can do that. So you see, there's a difference between the will of God and God giving them what they want. In this case, that's exactly what he did. You see, if they had just went on the word of God, this would have been a step of faith, going into the promised land as he said. But instead, this moment right here is the first wavering doubt they have, and it becomes a test of faith instead of a step of faith. The 12 spies that was selected, they must have been young men at the time, well-bodied men, but also certainly influential men in the tribes because they were leaders. Among these 12 spies was Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb, this is the first mention of Caleb here in this chapter, but he's also mentioned in the Old Testament 31 more times, and every time it is because of one thing, his unwavering faith in God's promises in his life. Again, there's also Joshua. Joshua was the general that had been selected by Moses to lead the army when they defeated the Amalekites further back in Exodus, in the book of Exodus. And he was the servant of Moses. And when he began to be the servant of Moses, his name was Hoshea, which means salvation. However, Moses changed his name from Hoshea to Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Now I tell you, that's a wonderful name for a leader and a general of the armies. So as they went into the land and they went out and spied the land, they must have been in the land at least 40 days as it says, but they must have covered about 500 miles during that time, looking at all of the land, the fruit of the land. They even brought some of it back so they could show it to the nation and to Moses. And as they were doing all these things, they began to see one thing. Everything that God had told them was confirmed. The land indeed flowed with milk and honey. And yes, that it was lots of great fruit. There were large populations, fortified cities, and there was also descendants of Anak, who was a giant, and there was giants in the land. So when they came back, let's go to the next verses, we see what they have seen, what's over there. They come back with that description of the land, and you see God places regular tests of faith before his children. Let's read the verses right now. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him, they said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they, the 10 spies, spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw thereof of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we looked the same to them. I want you to know what those 10 spies were saying. First, they said to Moses about the land, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. What do they tell the nation as they go through the each tribe? This is what they say about the land. The land we explored devours those living in it. Again, what they tell Moses about the people. They said, the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. But what they tell the people, all the people we saw there of great size, we seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we looked the same to them. The more those 10 spies saw of the land, the more fear, doubt, and fear settled into their hearts, and they took that doubt and fear back to the nation of Israel. And when they got there, they started giving this bad report. Of course, Caleb and Joshua, still with unwavering faith, they were determined to do what God had told them to do and take possession of the land. But these 10 spies got a hold into, into all of their tribes, and they spread this fear and doubt like wildfire. They began to look on what they saw, and they forgot all about faith. You see, they had a history, and that history was God protecting them, God providing for them, God giving them victory over any challenge they had ever seen, all the way up to this point. But what did they do? They forgot about that. They forgot about that, and they let doubt creep in, and doubt has led to fear. Now, what is the lesson in this for us? Well, I'll tell you what it is. As we go through our time here, and we are Christians and we are believers in Christ, we can see God's hand on our lives each and every day. And as we do this, we see Him helping us to overcome our obstacles, opening opportunities for us, being generous with us, and we in turn be generous in our giving or whatever it may be of our time. And every first and third Saturday, we are right here, myself along with other prayer warriors, and we are taking requests, requests that all of you have put on connect cards. And for me, excuse me, for me, this is what that's showing me. You have faith. You're taking a step of faith and you're saying, I'm gonna put my request, whatever it may be, on this connect card, and I'm turning it in because I know men and women of God will be faithful to intercede or agree with me on my behalf before God, who will graciously respond. Because to me, they are putting their faith in the unfailing love of God. Again, in the men's Bible study, which we attend every Tuesday here, when we go in there and we have our sessions, at the end of every session, we get into little groups and we take our little notepads and we write down in our group the request of that person, every person there, and we pray for them right there and continue to pray for them because we got it in our journal. And I tell you right now, that's a great thing. We do that, and when we come back, it encourages me, because when I see that and I see how everyone is saying, hey, remember when we prayed about this? God has answered my prayer. And I tell you what, that instills confidence in everybody, knowing that God is moving in our lives. And if He has helped us right then or in the past, we have to remember that. So every step is a step of faith, that we're stepping out because we know God can and is very able to take care of us, protect us, provide for us in any situation. Sad to say that the nation of Israel at this time totally forgot about that. Let's go on to the next verses. That night, but the next point being doubt sees obstacles and faith sees opportunities. And we can see that right here. The nation is seeing all of the obstacles and have no faith. And yet, faith, unwavering faith of Caleb and Joshua, they are undeterred by anything they saw. And they are standing on faith knowing that they will inherit the promised land. But here we go with the verses. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, that has turned from doubt to fear to outright rebellion. The entire camp is filled with discouragement and fear, and once again, they have reverted to their long history of murmuring and doubt. We should have died in Egypt. Man, I can just see that being the great saying, the favorite saying of everybody in these tribes, and it was perhaps the song of the year. Everyone is full of fear, and the fear is fueling the outright rebellion. Think about it. Caleb and Joshua, they stood up and they said, no, stop your whining and let's go and start winning. And they want to stone them to death. They've already said their intent is to fire Aaron and Moses and put people up as leaders who will do what they say. And when you think about that, are they true leaders if all they're going to do what they say? Of course not. This is rebellion. But as Pastor Brian told us last week when they started criticizing Moses, God heard it. And let me tell you something. This rebellion is something that God will not put aside. Remember this if you don't remember anything else today. Rebellion never goes unpunished. There's a law that God has, and it's called the law of sowing and reaping. And in this instance, the nation of Israel is sowing the wind, and they will definitely reap the whirlwind. The very thing that they dreaded the most, death in the desert, is the judgment that God put upon them. But in his faithfulness, and we can see that, his intent when he first heard this was that he kill them all and start over. But faithful Moses, humble Moses, fell before, got on his knees before God and pleaded, do not kill them. Remember your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God relented, but judgment did come. And this is how it came. The very thing that they feared the most, death in the desert, became the exact thing that they got. God's judgment said that they would die in the desert. They would wander in the desert 40 years, 1 year for every day that the spies was in the promised land, and those children that they said would be plundered and captured, those children would be the ones that go in and inherit the promised land. Sadly, only Caleb and Joshua, those that are full of faith, unwavering faith, from that whole entire generation, those two were the only ones that went and saw the inheritance in the promised land. Now, what is it that we can learn from all of this? Well, there's three things we can learn about doubt. Doubt is contagious. Doubt can lead to despair. Doubt must be replaced by faith. We shouldn't focus on the obstacles in our life like the 10 spies did. I mean, we are faced with all kinds of challenges in our lives. Financial struggles we may have, health issues, setback to goals that we may have thought was going to be easily attained, but then we get a setback. Whatever the case may be, these are challenges that we have to take to the Lord, and we take them to him. The word tells us to commit our plans to him, and he will see us through all of this. And when we do that, we are stepping out in faith, knowing that he will and able to take care of us. And remember the actions of the nation of Israel against Moses and Aaron. They went from thinking about going back to Egypt to deposing them and putting leaders in that they would love to hear and say the things that they want to hear. Here's something that's in the gospel, and not in the gospels, and in the epistles, that is for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul warns Timothy, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Do not listen to people who are just telling you what you want to hear, especially if you know it's not godly counsel. The one thing that you have to do, and here's an example of it. If you have questions, that you have something that you have on your heart and you think you want to take it to the pastor and get their recommendation on it, either one of the pastors here in this church, they give you godly counsel, encourage you to step out in faith, but your doubt is creeping in and you're dismissing what they say. Are they really your pastor? Do you understand what I'm saying? You go out and you just keep talking to people until finally you find the one person that's agreeable with how you see it. And you know what? That wavering doubt may put you in your desert, wandering around in the wilderness, and you'll wonder how you got there. Let's not be like them. We must trust in God. If you are in a time of testing, listen, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians and believers, it's an open book test. All you have to do is look in this book. It has the answers for you. Find godly men and women who you can trust, and they will speak encouragement into your life so that you will truly step out in faith. The Lord's Prayer tells us, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will done on earth means that by trusting and stepping out in faith, you are in obedience to his word, and that is how his will is done on earth. we all must have to remember one thing. Faith and doubt cannot abide in you at the same time. One will overrule the other. And I plead with you, let faith destroy doubt in your life. Step out in faith. Make sure that you are in line with God's word, and make sure that every step you take, you surround yourself with godly men and women who can come and pray with you. Find a connect group. Even just find somewhere to serve. And those people around you, you'll quickly get contagious about the faith that they have, the love they have for God, the love for his word, and you will grow. And you will grow and grow in faith. Dr. Charles Stanley once said, "True peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in the midst of it. When you rely on him instead of your own strength, fear, and I say doubt, loses its grip and confidence is restored. God does not promise an easy path, but he promises his presence every step of the way." I say again, put doubt in your rearview mirror and step out in faith. Let us pray. Lord, as we have received your word today, let us never forget the example that we have in the book of Numbers. Help us to remember that the wilderness journey is not only a time of testing and trials, but a time of transformation, drawing us closer to you, not relying on our strength, but trusting you to see us through and never to leave or forsake us. May we always remember how you have provided for us and settle in our hearts that you can and will take care of our every need. We thank you for the pastors you have appointed to guide us, godly men and women to come alongside us, Holy Spirit who lives in us, and the mighty rock that led Israel and in whom we trust, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It is in his powerful name we pray. Amen.